Hello and welcome back to the Couple's Guide to Stranger Things podcast. I'm Sean.
And I'm Tom? Thomas? Timothy? And I'm no doubt thinking up dad jokes at this section of the podcast.
That sounds like you. Anyway, and we're just a couple of super fans who met through our love of Stranger Things.
Today we'll be discussing our rewatch of Chapter 9, The Gate.
Shall we dive in?
Like the Mind Flayer dove back into the gate?
These are getting worse and worse, honey.
Dad jokes.
Is it me, or did that intro seem a little weird?
It felt like my life had turned upside down.
Yeah, I don't know how to explain it.
Like my voice got deeper. I just had a massive need to tell, well, I can only describe as dad jokes.
It's weird, and like I just suddenly hated them all. I wanted to like punch myself in the face.
Oh God! Get out of my head!
Stranger things have happened.
I'd like to state, though, for the record, I don't hate your dad jokes. Some of them are really funny.
You're just saying this to be nice, aren't you?
Some of them are cringe. Some of them are funny.
You're just saying this to be nice.
I can't help it if I'm a nice person, Thomas.
Okay, Charlie Pops.
Right. Shall we go into the rewatch now?
You mean, shall we dive in?
Shall we dive into the gate? I don't really want to dive into the gate, because I don't fancy going into the upside down.
You don't want to pull a Steve in the pond in season 4?
No, not really.
It wasn't much of a pond either. It was more, what was it, a river?
I don't even know. Honestly.
A lake?
This is so...
It was Lover's Lake, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yes, it was. And honestly, this kind of shows how little we've rewatched season 4. Because for one moment, I was like, what are you talking about? When you said pond.
How many times have we watched season 4?
I think we only watched it twice.
Because I honestly don't even remember rewatching it once. I'm sure we did, because that's like, you know, we'd be written off the face of the earth if we'd only watched it once.
I feel like we definitely watched part one twice, at least, because we rewatched it before part two came out. But I'm like, did we rewatch part two? I'm not sure.
I'm sure we would have. And in fact, yeah, I do remember rewatching it now because the torture that is Elle being bullied.
Yeah, but that's part one.
I know.
And I know we definitely rewatched part one.
Well, that's
one.
What I mean. I couldn't even really remember watching part one multiple times.
Yeah.
Anyway, we are rambling.
Well, it's what we do. But although I've had some lovely reviews, actually, mainly through our fan fictions. So thank you so much for them. And someone said, you know, that they love the rambling and that they love our opinion. So
what
thank
is
you
wrong
very
with
much.
You?
No, it's nothing wrong. Thank you very, very much. We really appreciate it.
We do appreciate it, even if we are aiding in the loss of your sanity.
The thing is, like, I'm going a bit deep here, but as you know, I genuinely worry about what people think of me.
You do.
And, like, it really, really, really bothers me. But do you know what? After, like, lovely reviews like that, I'm just going to... We can only just be us, can't we?
Indeed.
And
we don't want to try and copy anyone else because then we're boring.
Well, that's it. I don't want to copy anyone else because that is their thing, you know?
Exactly.
And this is our thing and we've got our own little unique situation. So, yeah, I'm quite happy for us to just be us and ramble away if we need to.
God help you all.
So, yeah, we did rewatch The Gate, as you know, people, on the previous week, as soon as we'd finished on... what was Chapter 8 called?
My brain's gone. The Upside Down.
The Upside Down.
Yeah, there was no way... I'm pretty sure you said it in episode 7... Well, for The Lost Sister, that when it came to this episode, there's no way we were stopping at episode 8.
Yeah.
Like, we couldn't just get to the reunion and then not watch at least that part of episode 9.
Yeah.
Because that was the original plan. We were just going to watch just the reunion continue bit of episode 9 and then leave it. But no, we make our own rules. We just watched them both right there and then, like the appropriate parents and podcasters we are.
Yeah, and I just had to quickly Google, because you said Chapter 8, The Upside Down. But that's Season 1. Chapter 8, The Mind Flayer.
Oh, The Mind Flayer. Of course it is. They're not just learning about The Upside Down. You muppet.
I was just sat here and I was like, no, that's not right. But to be fair, I couldn't think of what it was, so I did a quick little Dr. Google search. And got the answer. Yeah, so exactly like you said, like, we could not watch the reunion, and one thing led to another, and before we knew it, we'd watched the whole damn thing.
Just like that. And now we're just excited to get this done so that we can watch Season 3.
I know, and isn't it crazy? Because people are probably like, but wait, you give off such an impression of hating Season 3 and always have. But I'm genuinely so excited to watch it.
I'm sure I've said in a previous episode that it's definitely my least favourite, and that's not going to change.
And but that's not necessarily a bad thing, is
but
it?
But it has many good points, and yeah. I don't think we've ever brought this to the podcast. We've spoke about it together.
Yeah.
That despite everything, and despite it only being, what was it, 2019?
Mm.
God, that's 5 years ago. Yeah, despite that, it's a nostalgic season because it was the first one that we were waiting for together.
Yeah.
And yeah, we did watch it together because you were off in Atlanta.
Yeah, which was booked before you and I got together.
It was.
But no regrets
there.
So
you didn't just abandon me for the sake of it.
No.
You had to.
That's it. If you and me had already been together, then, my God, we would have booked you a ticket as well. You'd have been there too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had an amazing time with my lovely friend Megan in Atlanta. She made it so special, the build-up to Season 3 as well. Like, yeah. And after, you know, we got to see Starcourt Mall and we got to see the Wheeler House, as people know from my story of me sobbing and not caring about any other building than the Wheeler House. And yeah, it was absolutely amazing. And I hope I can take you there one day.
Hopefully we will, yeah. Was there anyone else on that tour with you, other than Megan, obviously?
No, not on that particular day.
That's okay. So you weren't exactly interrupting anyone else just by shouting, "It's a Wheelhouse! Wheelhouse!"
I mean, I suppose I was interrupting the poor tour guide who was like, "And this is the Sinclair House." And I was like, "But that's the Wheelhouse.
Shut up.
But that's the Wheelhouse.
Take us to the Wheelhouse."
I couldn't ignore it because it literally was next door.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't pretend I couldn't see it. Because it's absolutely like it is in the show.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't pretend I can't see that.
I guess you could say you were fangirling.
Massively. Fangirling Stranger Things was fangirling.
Indeed.
Oh, God. But speaking of fangirling, I don't think there's any scene that makes me go as crazy as the scene we are just about to experience. And honestly, You know, you all heard it in our last podcast about the reunion. As you know, the episode ends, they start to see each other, and how much that set off for you and me, and how amazing we're talking about. So I would expect a good 30 minutes just on this, if not more.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So
here we go.
Here we go.
Good luck. Hold on to your hats. Fasten your seatbelts.
To the point where I don't even know where to start, because it's it just overwhelms me with fluff and love and, oh my God, oh my God.
It starts with a little fading to, is it looking at the window, I think? But it's fading just with the buyer's house.
Yeah.
And as soon as that fading happens, you know exactly what's coming.
Yeah.
Because you know exactly who's on either end of the camera right now.
That's it, because it, like you say, it starts with like an empty space.
It is, that's it,
and then
it,
they fill it.
That's it, yeah, they just come right in to the middle, both at the same time, and just crash together in the middle.
Oh, and before there's even more words then, like, ow, Mike, the way, like, Millie breathes. I know this sounds hilarious because everyone's got to breathe,
but it's not even a breathing, it's like a gasp, gasp of relief.
Yeah,
gasp, yeah, a relief, and just,
and I feel it, yeah. It is that absolute, like, honestly, they are phenomenal actors. They are, because that is how, like, I feel like, okay, I'm getting a bit fluffy here now, people. I'm sorry. But that is how I feel. Like, if you and me have been apart, that is the feeling I get when I hug you.
Yeah.
And give you a kiss, because it's this feeling of your heart and everything in your body just takes this big sigh of relief that your missing jigsaw piece is back.
Yeah.
And exactly that. Like, honestly, you can't settle without this person. You're not your true self without this person. Your mind is constantly split down the middle. And literally, the only time you and me have ever been away from each other, well, ironically, the longest was when I was in Atlanta.
Absolutely.
But other than that, a day or two when you've had to go and do stuff at your mum's house. And, like, I, you know, I've been away at my sister's sometimes. And it's just, it's, oh, I hate it.
Yeah, like, it's wrong.
I don't hate the people I'm with. I just want you to be there too, because it's like I'm missing a limb, or it's just not right. I don't feel complete.
Exactly. And it's exactly as Mike puts it in season 4.
Mm.
I don't know how to live without you.
Yeah.
That's the line right there. Is, as soon as your other half is missing, it's not right.
Yeah. And I'm like, how? Like, because at that point, Millie must have been maybe 13.
Well, this is the thing.
Maybe 40.
She's,
when she's filming that?
2004 for Millie?
I think so.
So, 16. No, she's not still 12. The thing is, they are 13 in the season, like the characters. And obviously, season 1, she started when she was 11 years old. Maybe slightly 10.
Mm.
But there's not that much time difference between season 1 and 2, you know, 2016, 2017.
Yeah, so for filming of it, they probably are around 13
I've
years
always,
old.
Yeah, and I've always wondered how on earth, to be honest, this cast especially, but lately child actors in a lot of things, how they're so goddamn good at it. Like,
yeah.
Where are they getting all of this?
This, like, depth. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Where is it coming from? Because obviously, like you say, they hadn't had relationships of their own at this point.
No.
They've not had that longing separation that Mike and Elle feel. And yet, they just become their characters so perfectly.
Yeah.
That, as you say, when you're watching it, it's not Finn, it's not Millie, it's Mike and Elle.
Yeah. They portray it better than so many adult actors
that I've seen. Exactly. It's like sometimes adult actors just dramatise it too much.
Mm.
It's so clearly fake. But somehow with these guys, it's just so believable. And it's absolutely mind-blowing.
It is. And I just, like, have hats off to them, because they perfectly encapsulate all those feelings I've just said.
Exactly.
In deep breaths of relief.
Yeah.
Like, all Millie does is that, and I'm there like, I understand completely how you feel. In fact, I sympathise with you, because, you know, I feel like this after a couple of days, and yet you've had almost a year.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. 353 days. Like, very specific, but yeah, that just shows how much Mike means to her as well, is that she remembers that very specific number being the last one she listened to.
Yeah. And it's like, especially I think in season one and season two, like Millie and Finn do so much acting without words, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like so much emotion without words, like those deep breaths, like I've just said, those sighs of relief, the tears, the sniffling, you know, like the looks in their eyes, the gaze.
Well, this is the thing,
longing. It's absolutely phenomenal, and it's obviously what won over so many fans and made them Malevin shippers.
Hello.
Yeah.
That's it. It's like, especially in season one when it comes to Millie, like, she's basically got no lines.
No.
Like, come on, think of something she says.
Mike.
Egos. There we go. We've done. Mike, Egos, mouth breather.
Friend.
Done. Done. So she literally has to act with her eyes and talk with her eyes, and she especially is phenomenal at that. But yeah, ironically, this is the end of episode 8 here, but the look that Mike gives her as she walks in, that the face it ends on.
I know. Like,
yeah, they are both fantastic at it, and it's just absolutely mind-blowing how they do that.
And I feel like the moment that they walk up to each other, it's like the whole room disappears.
Yeah.
Everyone else in that room just vanishes for them both. They don't have a look to anyone else. Like, Elle doesn't... I mean, not that she would be shocked to see Hopper there, but there's not even like a flinch of, oh, he's going to be annoyed at me.
Because
there's nothing except Mike for her. And there's nothing for Mike but Elle.
And
I think that's proven, especially in the fact that he says, I never gave up on you. I called you every night.
Yeah.
You know, he's like 13 or something in this. There's no embarrassment. He's just getting it all out in front of all these people, in front of Hopper, in front of Joyce. Doesn't matter.
No.
His sister.
Everyone's there. And I was going to say that along the lines of the fact that obviously he's calling out on the Supercom, and every time Dustin has found in on a weird channel,
yeah,
and be like, what are you doing on this channel? Mike's like, nothing. So he doesn't want anyone to know he's trying to call out to Elle throughout the year. But then right there and then, he just says it all out in the open, like you said.
Yeah.
And obviously, Hopper already knows. Mm. But yeah, he hasn't told anyone. Maybe he's mentioned a slight bit to Will.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it's not something he's told any of the guys.
And that's it. He's crying. He's crying in front of Nancy.
Pretty much sobbing.
In front of Jonathan, in front of Max, in front of Lucas, in front of Dustin. And he couldn't care. He wouldn't even know they were there.
Yeah, like, it's
that's a beautiful moment that you feel like, I feel so honoured to be able to look upon.
Yeah, exactly.
And such a tender moment.
If anything, so Max kind of makes me feel like she feels like that as well. Later on, when she's kind of questioning, is that her?
Yeah.
Sort of thing. It's like she can't believe her eyes either.
Yeah.
Especially Mike, I suppose, because he's been a right a-hole to her for the entire season.
Yeah.
And then suddenly he's sobbing, holding this girl in his arms and...
Yeah.
Yeah, saying he's been calling out every night.
And that's it. Funnily enough, you saying about Max, like, the fact that Max whispers, because
she doesn't want to interrupt it.
Exactly. Everyone can see that no one else is talking. And yeah, there's obviously an element of shock for, say, for instance, Lucas and Dustin and Nancy, that, oh my God, like, she's alive. She's here.
Yeah, exactly.
There is that element as well, but no one's interrupting it. They're all giving them this moment.
Yeah, because they even Hopper
they
and
can
Joyce.
They can feel the tension, the emotion.
Yeah, and I say even Hopper and Joyce. Joyce is the kind of person who would give them that. You know, she's nearly, of course, sort of defending them in season three. But, yeah, that's what I mean. Even Hopper doesn't interrupt for a bit until Mike's questioning why Elle didn't respond.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's it. He's genuinely... He's not... The thing is, he's not angry.
Mm.
Like, he's just genuinely well, I don't know if curious is the word. It is, I think it's more of a concern.
Yeah.
Face on him, questioning why she didn't let him know that she was okay. But I know I said this when we were watching it, when Hopper then interrupts to say it was because he didn't let her, you can see the way he suddenly turns, Mike, to look at Hopper, it's like, it's a sudden reminder that there's other people in the room.
Yeah.
Like, he genuinely had forgotten that they were not alone in that room. And then as soon as Hopper's voice is behind him, he's like, Christ, I forgot you were there.
Mm. That's it. And he, Mike, is almost shocked, isn't he? But he's not stupid. And very quickly, when Hopper says, because I didn't let her, Mike says, you were hiding her.
Yeah, well, that's
you
it.
You were hiding her this whole time. And, like, almost grits his teeth and goes to, like, you know, hit him.
Well, he does hit him.
Yeah.
But that's it. It's...
Sorry, people, if you can hear Emmy. She's fussing on her camera, but we're hoping she'll stay quiet. We'll see. Fingers crossed, everybody.
We shall see. Come on. There we go. Good girl. Right. Yeah, that's it. There's obviously a few more lines in there before Mike then starts saying that. But yeah, the realisation is very instant. Like, he... Obviously, Hopper comes in to give Ella a hug. I suppose of a fatherly relief that she's okay in there now.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's pretty much... I'm sure he says, what the hell is this about the outfit? Yeah, I'm sure he says, what the hell is this? Where have you been?
Yeah.
Obviously referring to the bitchin' look.
Mm.
And then, yeah, Mike moves to sort of behind, and you know he's immediately realised what that means.
Yeah.
But it's like he can't believe it.
Yeah.
And it just takes him a moment to accept that Hopper's been hiding her all this time. Like you say, 353 days, practically a year, while he, I know full fact... because I've questioned the Duffers and I've read through all their notes that they apparently can't read. Mike has been questioning Hopper, like, nearly every day for this entire year.
Yeah.
Like, you know that.
Oh, yeah.
You know that full well.
I've
he has
written
not...
fanfics about that.
Yeah, well, that's it. You know full well he has not given Hopper a break. Constantly going to that police station being like, have you seen anything?
Mm.
Have you seen her? Please just tell me if there's anything.
Well, I've always said as well, haven't I? There's a reason why Hopper's leaving her Eggos.
Exactly.
Someone's told him that.
That's it, because where in season one does he find out that she loves Eggos?
Nowhere.
Nowhere, exactly. So from the time that she disappeared, so this is November to Christmas, December, duh, he already has told Hopper that she absolutely loves Eggos. If you... Yeah. Leave Ego somewhere and they're disappearing, it's going to be her.
Yeah.
And I would hope that Hopper is giving him some hope and saying, yeah, they're going.
Yeah.
You know, the Egos are being taken. So, I'm on both sides here. You know, well, that, because...
Yeah. Well, I'm annoyed at myself because... I did skip ahead onto the Hopper thing because I was just getting excited.
To be fair, I think it was me that jumped forward there.
No, I'm not sure. I feel like...
Because I mentioned the fact that it reminds them that they're not alone.
Maybe, but it's the fact as well that, you know, he says, I called you.
Yeah, every night.
Every night for...
353 days, I heard. And yeah, his face...
His little shocked face.
He's instantly, like, shocked as soon as she says that number, because that was the last number he said.
Yeah.
And as soon as she says that number, it's like an instant... She doesn't have to say she heard, because it's obvious that she's been listening to every single one.
And I just love the tender voices they have for each other.
Yeah. Exactly, like I say, he's not mad when he's asking why she didn't get in touch. He's still got his soft Only for Elle voice on. He's not got his, what does he say? The way he shouts.
Party it, members only.
There's that. I was trying to think of his line when he's shouting up the stairs to his mother or something. But yeah, he's not got that voice on. He's got.
If anyone asks, I've left the country.
But yeah, he's got his soft "I'm in love with you."
Yeah.
As I say, only for L voice.
It kind of reminds me of you.
I knew you were going to say that.
You know exactly what I'm thinking, don't you?
Yep, the way I'll talk to you, and then I'll throw my headset on and talk to my friends on whatever stupid game we're playing.
That's it, because we'll be like, you know, you'll be like, oh, I'm just going to go on the game now. And I'll be like, okay, babe. And we'll say, I love you. And then I know immediately that Tom is no longer in the room, that he is now with his friends, because they greet each other in ways that I cannot say on this podcast, otherwise we'd need mature content.
Yeah, just replace one word in a sentence with something else. As soon as that headset's on and the microphone's off, it's like, yeah, like you say, I'm like, all right, I'm going on with them now. Love you. All right, idiots.
Yeah.
Just replace idiots with something a bit more profane.
Yeah. I know immediately, yeah, when he is zoned out from boyfriend Tom to his gamer Tom.
Degenerate Tom.
And that's it. Like, they have that lovely thing. And to be honest, another thing that it made me think of that made me smile is, I'm not saying he babies her or anything like that, but it made me think of our little boy, Harry, and the way he speaks to Emmy.
Yeah.
He'll just go from his normal cute little toddler voice to this gorgeous high-pitched, oh, you okay?
Yeah.
Okay, baby girl.
Exactly.
I can't even do it. I'm trying to do it. I'm seeing, like, the thing on the computer, like, pitching high.
So yeah. I haven't put my high-pitched voice on for such a long time. I'm not about to do it and torture, one, my throat to your ears.
But yeah, he's just like,
yeah, that's, girl. Imagine already a toddler, high-pitched already, then trying to put on a high-pitched voice, like how you talk to a puppy or a baby.
So it's cute.
It's hilariously cute. But exactly that. It's like, yeah, exactly like you're saying, two completely different moods, two completely different voices for the people who are just normal and then the person you just absolutely love.
Yeah. And this is the thing. It's like Mike has that soft, gentle voice, and then yeah, flips when Hopper says what he says, because he's like,
yeah, you've been hiding her.
Yeah,
you've been hiding her this whole time.
Yeah, and he's back to his frustrated, angry Mike voice.
He is absolutely furious. Like, he's lucky. Hopper is lucky that all he's got is a candlestick.
Yeah,
like genuinely. He's lucky this boy has nothing but a candlestick, because I think Hopper would be dead in this moment of realisation.
I've got to say something as well about Mike in this episode, that I know I'm skipping ahead to season 4, and I've got to be careful not to get into it too much, because I definitely will be discussing it then as well. It does frustrate me, the writing of season 4 with Mike, because in season 4, he's so scared to say, I love you, and all this kind of stuff. And yet, in this particular episode of season 2, he has his heart on his sleeve for her.
Yeah.
He doesn't care who's in that room or not in that room. He is crying. He is telling her that he's called her for 353 days. It couldn't be more evident if he tried, that he loves her.
Exactly. It's one of the many reasons why I very much more agree with your, among many others, fan fictions where that L word does not stay reserved for a very long time.
No.
Because it's, like you say, it's just, he's wearing his heart on his sleeve. It's bloody obvious how much this boy loves her.
Yeah.
Like you say, he couldn't make it more obvious.
Like, I just feel like season 4 Mike betrayed season 2 Mike. I almost felt like season 2 Mike and season 4 Mike needed to sit down, and season 2 Mike would be like, dude, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
Just tell her you love her. I remember saying this at the time. It felt like season 2 Mike was more mature than season 3 and season 4 Mike.
Oh, season 3 Mike, 100%. But yeah, season 4 Mike... That's it. I get the whole worried you're going to lose her And yeah, just, I mean, thinking that it's going to be easier if you don't say it, that's just plain stupid.
I think that's lazy writing.
I wouldn't call it lazy writing, because I know...
Worried you're going to lose that, I 100% agree with. But if anything, I feel like the Mike we've known from season one and season two, that would only ignite his fire to tell her he loves her.
That's what I was going to say.
Because he's been this close to losing her.
Exactly. And then, if anything, getting that out there is going to... I don't know, I guess make that bond stronger for them. Having that word out there and sort of not lock her in, but you know what I mean?
Mm.
Along those lines. Yeah, it's like, without saying that word, it's like you're trying to leave her open to her options. And I think that's Mike's problem. Because he says this in season four, the reason he's afraid he's going to lose her isn't only to, like, the upside down. So he's not just afraid that she's going to die or something. Obviously, he is afraid of that anytime she has to be the one to save the bloody world again.
Mm.
But when she's in school and all of that, meeting other people, his monologue, he says he's afraid that she's going to realise that she doesn't need him and she can find someone better and all of that. And I feel like the non-selfish side of Mike... later on doesn't want to lock her in and restrict her from potentially finding someone better because he's not worthy, he's not,
that's it, I
all of that.
I agree with all of that. I do think that that's like a really good analysis of how Mike is feeling in season four. I do think he has that vulnerability, but I just find it incredibly hard to believe that the Mike we've known from season one, season two wouldn't have told Elle he loved her yet.
Yeah.
Like, in my opinion, like I've written, like you've written, like so many fanfiction writers have written, he has said, I love you before season three.
Yeah, 100%.
In that 6 months that we lost, damn it.
Honestly, like, if they... These spin-offs they're rumouring better be moment fillers like this.
Yeah.
Like, I'm obviously not expecting the actors to do it, unless they get other actors that look alike.
Yeah.
Animate it, you know, it's just give us something.
Yeah, because those 6 months between season two and season three, like,
so much
where
has happened.
Elle and Mike have been able to get back together and be happy, I feel, of course he would have said I love you in that time.
Exactly.
Considering how he's been in this episode, it's not like he would have just suddenly cooled off, and they definitely don't cool off.
Well, that's it. I mean, my God, the way she's grasping him and they're snogging and all that.
Yeah, in season three, they most certainly are not shy around each other. No. So, yeah, I just find it... Yeah.
As Nancy would say.
I struggle. The, you know, BS.
BS, yeah. I call massive BS.
But like, no, I do agree about his vulnerability in season four because she has moved away. And
yeah.
Of course, I agree with that. I just don't agree with the fact that he hasn't said I love
exactly,
you
exactly, that's it, because...
I think that was just lazy writing because they knew that they were going to have a scene with Elle facing Henry and they were like, oh, we need something powerful to be said to get her through.
Yeah, exactly. And it does build up to that, I suppose. That's it. Season four... And the whole insecurity side of things holding it back only works because he hasn't said it. But the fact that he hasn't said it at all yet is BS.
Yeah.
Like I say, 100%. Between seasons two and three, I say between as if it's in the middle. No. Literally, what are we, October? He said it before November.
Yeah.
Or maybe by November. I think it would be said before the snowball. And if not, then very close after.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous that he has not said the L word within 1984.
Yeah, it just doesn't sit right with me.
It's completely ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, hell, even over the Supercom while he's calling out to her.
Mm.
I could imagine him saying that word over one of his little calls.
Yeah. It's just... It's frustrating because I just feel like they betrayed Mike in that sense.
They did. That's it. Mike was such a strong character.
For plot convenience.
Yeah, exactly. He's such a strong character so strong of his mind in seasons 1 and 2.
And he's a brave character.
He is brave.
And he would
dived off a cliff to save Dustin's teeth.
Sorry, just the way you said that. To save, not Dustin, Dustin's teeth.
Well, yeah. I don't think Troy was going to kill Dustin. Maybe he would have bled out, so fair enough.
God.
But I don't think Troy was planning on killing Dustin. I believe he would have pried out some teeth? Probably. He's bloody insane. But
let's use that as a segue to the next scene. Anger.
You know how you said we'd be talking about this for 30 minutes?
Yeah.
It's now 25.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew it was going to happen because it's the most... one of the most important scenes for us.
It's the most important scene of Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Like, I'd say this is probably more important than the snowball, with the snowball literally smelling its butt because it's so close.
Yeah. Smelling its butt?
Oh. That's how close behind it is in terms of it being the most important scene.
I was like, what are you
It's
talking?
Right behind it, literally
Fair
so
enough.
Close that...
Fair enough.
That's all it can smell.
So the next scene is... powerful scene as well.
And this is the scene that makes me so mad at season 3.
So we have... well, funnily enough, I think we actually have a missing scene, which I'm quite tempted to write. Because you don't just walk into a room randomly saying, protecting her.
Exactly. So
they had
a
conversation from the lounge to that bedroom.
Well, this is it, because Hopper... going back to the other scene, obviously, after Mike is punching him or just shoving him more so, like the realisation that he's been hiding her, Hopper says, we need to talk alone.
And I can imagine and Mike saying something like, no, I don't want to talk to you, you piece of beep.
Well, either that or he agrees to it, but he's not staying quiet until they get to a room. He is shouting things.
Because clearly, on the way to the room, Hopper has got to have said, yes, but I was protecting
exactly.
her, Mike.
That's it. I can imagine the first thing Mike would say as they're walking along was, why have you hid her for so long? You know how desperate I've been.
Mm.
Or something like that. Maybe not even all that, but just like, why? Why have you hid her?
Mm.
And then, yeah, like you say, Hopper would just be like, I'm sorry, I was protecting her. Or... I don't think he would say sorry yet. And Hopper's not the kind of person to say sorry straight away. I go into this too in too much detail. Clearly I need to write this.
Stop stealing my missing scenes.
Have you written it yet or do you want to?
It's in my head.
Because honestly, that's the only thing I've wanted to start writing recently was missing scenes.
I need to stop saying this on the podcast. Like, I see this and I'm blah, blah, blah.
Well, no, because they've all been in my mind as well. I suppose this specifically wasn't.
Mm.
But
we have that for proof now on the podcast.
But this is the joy of it. I think that's a good thing if we both want to write the same thing, because we can see how we both do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And see how you interpret it, see how I interpret it.
Yeah.
Not a competition per se, but...
it's a competition.
It's a competition. But anyway, yeah. So you can imagine that. Mike is just like... questioning why on earth he's been hiding her after all this time, with how desperate he's been. And then Hopper just says, I've been protecting her. And then it cuts into where it starts, like him questioning, what the hell do you mean protecting her?
And it's I'm trying not to skip to you ahead, but like the thing that came into my head was oh, sorry, people. I'm trying to word it. I'm seeing Mike shocked in my head.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean.
I know exactly what you mean.
I'm just trying to get my words.
To be fair, yeah, I can't remember all of the words said in this, but I know the exact moment you're thinking of, and that's...
But don't be mad at her.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right, okay, so Hopper says he's not asking Mike to forgive him, he just needs him to understand.
Mike says, I don't understand.
Which, that kind of... That's okay. I'm just asking you to not blame her.
And it's the look on Mike's face. That's what we're trying to get at.
Yeah, like, it's...
He is so shocked that Hopper could ever...
Yeah, it's
think he's, that he's mad at Elle.
He's so shocked and, if anything, disgusted.
Yeah.
That he'd think that he would ever blame Elle.
Because it makes him freeze for a minute, doesn't it?
Yeah, he has to take a moment to, like, compose himself and think what on earth he has to say against that. Because, like you say, as if Mike is ever going to blame Elle for this.
Yeah.
Because I think, even in his mind, he knows it's very obvious that this has been against her wishes as well.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if Elle has maybe said that before he's walked off with Hopper.
Yeah.
Or if he just knows.
Yeah.
Probably just knows, let's be honest. But yeah, that face of absolute disgust when he even brings up the mere thought of blaming Elle for it, or being mad at her, like... Hopper, you have no idea what you're in for, because this boy, after a few little moments in season one, there's no chance he's ever mad at Elle ever again.
No. And that's it. He says, like, you know, I don't blame her. I blame you. I blame you. And then he just goes in on him.
Well, that's it. And Hopper's like, that's okay, kid. That's okay. And yeah, Mike...
And he says, nothing about this is okay.
Nothing about this is okay. And that's it. That's when he just loses it.
It shows that deeper understanding. It gives us, the audience, an understanding of what Mike's been going through. It's all accumulated to this point, and you can tell everything he has done. He clearly has been searching himself. He's clearly been to Hopper, like you said, every day.
Exactly.
He's been trying to talk to her every day. He's done so much.
Honestly, I bet he's had some bloody dark days. Like, oh, I don't want to get to that point. You know, he's just 12 going on 13.
Yeah, but
you can bet he's had some dark moments as well.
Exactly, and like, we know, like, that he's graffitied the bathroom stalls, that he's been talking back to teachers. Like, he has had a rough time, and all Hopper needed to do was tell him that Elle was safe.
Yeah, and exactly. That's the thing. He didn't even need to let them see each other. Yes,
I mean,
they would have demanded that. They would never have let him live without letting them see each
Mike
other.
Mike would have stalked him and everything.
Literally, that's the only problem there. But yeah, the simply just telling Mike. The thing is, like we have said many times, Mike is such a smart kid. I feel like he and Hopper could have come to some sort of agreement here to prevent all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, like I say, Mike's not an idiot. Hopper could have just said, listen, the lab is still out there. They're still looking for her. She's with me.
Yeah.
She's alive. She's safe. She's with me.
Yeah.
But I can't let you see her just yet, because that lab is watching her, and if they, and they're watching you, because they know that you protected her. So if they see you going some weird place, they're going to follow you, they're going to find her, and they're going to take her from us.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like Mike would be the kind of person to, he'd hate it, but he'd accept it, because nothing's more important than protecting
her. See, now I want to steal from you, because now I want to write that scene.
Have I ever written it? I've wanted to write this before, definitely. Yeah. But yeah, that's it. It's just like, I feel like Mike would, like I say, he'd hate this, but I feel like he would accept it. He'd be like, he'd want to say, please, I will make sure that I go some weird way. Oh, I have written this before. Yeah, he'll say, you know, I won't go an obvious route. I'll make sure I'm not being followed or being watched or anything like that. Just, he'd want to say all this, but I feel like eventually he would just bite the bullet and be like, okay, thank you for letting me know. When can we see each other?
Yeah. And
annoyingly, then the soon, trademarked by Hopper, is just going to affect Mike as well.
Yeah.
So eventually it would break down.
Yeah.
But I feel like in the beginning, just knowing that she's alive and safe would be enough.
Yeah. Yeah, and obviously it's just such a heavy burden on Mike's shoulders that it's just kind of collapsing. And then he's like pounding his very thin fist, barely making
half thin.
Barely making a
literally dent. Hopper's like, is a butterfly landing on me?
But Hopper's accepting it.
That's
while
it.
While Mike
think,
is going, liar, liar.
Yeah, I think
liar.
Hopper realises that he just needs to get this out.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think at this point, when Mike collapses, like those punches just, it turns from pure anger to just
almost exhaustion.
Exhausted.
Of the
yeah, he's exhausted and he's just then crying again while Hopper's giving him that apology hug and he just says, I'm sorry, kid. In Hopper's face, I really think for real that Hopper here realizes how bad he screwed up.
Definitely. Like, definitely.
That's it. Not for one moment does Hopper want to put Elle at risk, and he no. never would. But I feel like at this moment he's regretting not getting the info to Mike somehow.
Because I'm sure, because of the kind of person that Hopper has been and the kind of person he's described himself to be when he was a teenager, he's expecting this to be some sort of puppy love
exactly.
or a crush. And I think he is truly shocked by Mike's reaction.
Yeah.
Like you say, and he's like, oh my God, they love each other.
Exactly. This isn't just some kid teenage crush.
Yeah.
This isn't just where they want to, you know, suck face all the time.
And I don't think we should go into it because we could go into it, but just to say with a full stop or a period at the end, this is why we're so shocked about Hopper's change in season three.
Yeah, that's it. It's like this whole thing, Hopper realizing how bad he screwed up, and then I genuinely believe his apology. I genuinely think he's
yeah, I do.
Sorry for what he did to Mike. I think he realises how bad Mike has had it.
Yeah.
And the thing is, he probably knows the stuff that Mike's been doing because Elle's probably been watching and hearing what he's doing, maybe seeing some of it.
And he obviously has a bit of concern because he does say to Elle at some point, do you want me to check on him?
Yeah, exactly. So, I think he's had to check on him before.
Yeah, I think so too.
And it's just, it's mind-blowing to me that Hopper still then didn't realise that he just needed to break the news. And it took all the way, it took this rage for him to realise that. But even then, yeah, he realises it. And then, yeah, but like you say, in season three then, it's like they've just forgotten this whole thing.
Yeah.
But Hopper's just...
I don't think we should go into that.
We shouldn't, because we will be going into it.
We are so close to it.
Well,
literally.
Once this pod's done, we're into it.
Well, no, because we're going to do a pod, aren't we?
Oh, yeah, you want to do our best moments again.
Yeah. So, moving on from our favourite scene, which, yeah, we've talked about for definitely over 30 minutes.
Yep.
As I knew we would. I'm getting the feeling at the moment that this might be split into two.
Maybe.
Because there's no way that we'll only talk about you can tell him in my mum era. Instead of snowball, I was going to say soft play.
Oh, so they're now toddlers in love, are they?
They're toddlers in love.
They're toddlers in love and they're just...
Oh, God. Oh. They met across the the slide.
We can go to the soft play together.
But yeah, there's no way we're not going to talk about the snowball for like more than, you know.
Oh, the snowball's going to be an hour. If this was half an hour.
Yeah. But we'll get through as much as we can, I think, and then we'll see where we get a natural little pause or something. So next, while that's all happening, clearly, Elle goes and sees Will, and she's clearly been watching him from the void because she's like up to date. She knows what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. She's like fully aware of everything that's going on. And it's...
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I say, she's clearly been keeping tabs.
And the thing is, she's so incredibly brave because Joyce says to her, you know, you opened this gate before.
Yeah.
Do you think you could close it? And that's not just asking Elle to close the gate and use her powers.
It's asking her to go back to that place that kidnapped her.
It's asking her to go back to the place that kidnapped her, that tortured her,
yeah,
that gave her PTSD, that gave her trauma, like her worst nightmare.
Exactly, and that's not involving the Upside Down and all the Demodogs. and all of that, and the Mind Flayer.
That's just seeing the building.
Just the building,
do that to
just
her.
The place.
Yeah. So she's incredibly brave to be like,
she is.
I will.
And I remember you saying, this just annoys you to no extent, that then in season three, Will hates her. Like,
yeah.
Stupid girls, as he says, and all that. Just
yeah.
Insulting girl constantly. It's so annoying because, yeah, without Elle, you'd be dead, mate.
Yeah.
I suppose she has so much concern for him. Yeah, I suppose he'd argue, without Elle, I never would have gone missing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's like, okay, right, so you would just wish her out of existence then.
That's it. I think, like, so many people, including myself, thought they were going to be, and don't get me wrong, they
seem to be closer in season four. Yeah.
But so many people thought they were going to be brilliant friends in season three because they have this shared trauma.
Yeah.
Like, ironically, some people thought, like, there'd be a jealousy from Mike's point of view of, like, you know, oh, you know, you have all this shared experience
with
Will,
yeah.
And what about me? And but it didn't end up being that way. In season three, they barely interact.
Yeah. And I think it's setting the seeds for the fact that,
yeah,
Will obviously
definitely.
Is crushing on Mike. Because that's it. Will, if anything, then is accepting the fact that him, 11, is there to stay.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, he's probably very infuriated by Elle being
yeah.
there, because without Elle, maybe they could have happened. But.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, season three.
Yeah, season three. Yeah, so while all that is happening, we get a completely different scene. And that is poor Karen. She's got her very relaxing bath going on, her bubble bath,
yeah,
with her thousands of candles. And she's reading what I'm going to assume is an erotic novel. And on the front is a picture, pretty much may as well just be Billy.
Pretty much.
And, you know, there's a constant ringing of the doorbell.
Can I just say, I just thought, she's in this bath relaxing. It's super late in the evening.
Mm.
Two of her kids are out. It's like, it really shows the time that she just doesn't care and she's having a relaxing bath.
Yeah, but I think she thinks Mike is sleeping over at Will's. And, Nancy said she was sleeping over at some, like, she rang from Murray's. So she thinks, right, they're both out for a sleepover. Holly's in bed. I'm going to chill now.
I suppose.
And then, of course, yeah, Ted doesn't even hear the door.
How are you sleeping through a doorbell going multiple times when you're literally downstairs with it? I don't think he's too far from the door, is he?
No, I know, it's crazy, isn't it? I would say he doesn't even care, but he is snoring, so he's very much away.
I don't think he cares, for one, because there's a moment, I can't remember if it's season one or two, but there's a moment when he's awake and Karen has to ask him to get the door, and it's like he just thinks,
this isn't my job.
That's not my job, but I'll do it then.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, he, one, doesn't care, but two, he's dead to the world.
Yeah, he is. But I'm sure Karen's very relieved that he's dead to the world when she opens the front door to Billy.
Exactly, and that, like you say, it might as well be the person on the front cover of her book.
Yeah.
Standing right there.
And she's so shocked, and he's... And that's it. I know Billy's evil, but it is a funny scene.
It's a funny scene.
Where he's like, Mrs. Wheeler.
That's it, yeah. Billy obviously is a racist scumbag, but but he can still be funny in these moments. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
Again, it's all, like, down to Dacre and his fantastic acting.
Yeah, yeah. Dacre is an amazing actor.
He is.
Yeah, that scene is just so... It's like cringe in a way.
Yes.
It's also almost fascinating to see how Billy charms these women.
Yeah, exactly.
There's something, like, so sadistic about it, you know, and you're like, you're seeing him literally charming the pants,
yeah,
to be honest, of, like, Karen and getting all this information. And he says, doesn't he, that Mrs. Sinclair, you know, says basically that Karen's house is the main hosting house.
Exactly.
So that means he's spoken to Lucas's mum.
Exactly. And I brought it up this time because I never thought about it previously. but he's charming up Karen like there's, you know, like it's second nature to him.
Yeah.
Makes you wonder how he was towards Mrs. Sinclair.
Yeah.
Considering he's a racist scumbag.
Who would literally he wants to there? Kill her son.
Literally, yeah. It's like, would he have played the charm there? Or would it have just been direct, right, where are they?
Yeah. I don't think he wants these women to know he's a scumbag. I think...
No, he doesn't.
He wants them to think... Because if he was immediately a scumbag, then Mrs. Sinclair would probably be like, you know, oh, you need to stay away from that family. And I think that... I know it sounds a bit strange because he's literally said to Max, you know, stay away from him. I almost think at this point he'd want to lure Lucas in so he could attack him.
Yeah.
Like, he's no fun if he stays at a distance from...
He's the kind of person to bait you in.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of thing. And that's it. And he definitely does it with the women.
Yeah. He always wants a fight.
Yeah. And it is. It's... Yeah, he's... He's such a dangerous character, you know?
He is.
And, like, to the mothers, it is the kind of... He's the kind of guy that, you know, he's a good guy and he looks after his little sister and, oh.
Yeah, exactly, that's it. He plants the seeds, plants the bait, but you know what he's after.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know, obviously, we're not talking about season three, but I'm so glad that Karen doesn't give in to him. Because I think things might have ended very differently for her.
And I wonder how different it would have been if it wasn't for Kara suggesting that.
Yeah.
Because it was her who said... Oh, did she... Yeah, I think... No, they weren't... They were going to have a turn away anyway.
Yeah.
But Kara was saying, I don't think she would just stop normally. It was her that suggested it had to be... The sight of Holly sleeping with Ted.
Yeah, yeah. She said the sight of Ted would not be enough.
Yeah, if it was just Ted.
Karen to.
If anything, that would have bloody pushed her out.
Yeah.
But seeing Holly with him snuggled together, that was then, yeah, the stop it.
Yeah, exactly.
Grow up sort of thing, yeah.
Yeah. But I'm so glad she didn't fall into Billy's web because she literally would have been the heather. So.
Literally. Yeah, she would have been flayed in 2 seconds.
And it's fixed. So we go back to the buyer's house and, you know, they're all talking together about the mind flayer and how they could possibly destroy it. And it comes to Joyce that they keep giving it what it wants.
Exactly. He likes it cold.
He likes it cold and they've got the window wide open. And it's funny, isn't it? Because you can kind of see... One of the reasons Jonathan has gone for Nancy, because she is like Joyce in this way. Like, this is a moment between both of those women where they're both working it out. They're both smart women.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Nancy's very much on the side of Joyce and says this thing out of him.
Make the host uninhabitable. Like, they've got to burn it out of him.
Yeah.
So they think about, you know, where they could do that somewhere that Will has never been to before. And that is obviously when Hopper... suggest the cabin.
Yeah, and he's barking directions of it.
Yeah.
I wonder if Mike was listening to those directions.
Probably. Oh, but honestly, it then goes on to another scene that I could talk about for another 30 minutes. And that is Mike and Elle having to already part ways.
Yeah.
Because everyone's in action, everyone's getting cracking. They're going to get Will... to the cabin, Hopper's going to get Elle to the lab, and Hopper, oh,
yeah, it's
why
such...
couldn't you have given them a proper moment?
Exactly, this one infuriates me so much, and this me is too. Another one that I want to write a what if.
I've read a what if on this, which I really like.
Yeah.
Mike, I'm sure he kisses her and then he, behind Al's back, puts his finger up to Hopper. I'm sure he does.
I think I might have read that before.
Yeah, I have. I don't know whose fan fiction that was, but it was brilliant. Yeah,
oh, yeah, I think I feel like I can remember someone writing they have that kiss, and then Hoffa coughs as a distraction to separate them. And Mike just looks at him and, yeah, sticks his finger up like, get lost.
Yeah.
Anyway, obviously this is such another solemn moment where Mike's just opening the doors to his heart here, because L owns his heart.
Yes.
And, you know, he's very much saying, listen, you need to be careful. I can't lose you. And she's promising that he won't lose her.
Yeah.
And, you know, they obviously say that promise word. And, yeah, after all of that, there's that moment of silence. And they're leaning in. They know exactly what they need. But, and that's why this moment infuriates me so much, that Hopper didn't just let them have this.
Yeah.
Because they are going...
She could have died.
That's it. They're going to the lab to close this absolutely huge gate that Hopper has seen. So he knows how big this is, and he knows exactly how much this is going to take from her. And they know that the lab is absolutely infested with Demodogs. On the other side of the gate is the Mind Flayer. They know all of this. And yet he can't let them have this little 2-second moment that could have been their last goodbye.
Yeah.
Like, it infuriates me that he couldn't just look away for a second. Because, like I was saying to you, I get it from Hopper's perspective that it's awkward watching two kids kiss. Like, even if one isn't your daughter, seeing kids of this age, yeah, you think, oh, that's cute, they're in love or whatever. But it's also going to be a bit disturbing or awkward watching kids kiss like that. But when you're literally about to take her essentially to her death, potentially, just let them have that goddamn moment.
Yeah.
Because like you say, that could be their last. You've just seen how absolutely insanely obsessively in love Mike is for her. And then you can't even let them have that 2-second kiss there.
Because what Hopper can't comprehend, and because he wasn't there, is that the last time Mike has seen any version of Elle closing a gate, he thought she...
Well, she vanished into a cloud of dust.
Died. You know, like...
Literally, she vanished into a cloud of dust.
So he knows that there's potentially, no coming back from it.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like he would know that. I feel like Mike would describe that happening to Hopper. In all of his rants and...
I suppose he would, because Hopper would probably be like, tell me what happened at the school once I left.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. But I feel like Hopper would know. And if anything, that just disgusts me more, that he can't just give them that little moment. Like you say, all he needs to do is turn away for 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Let them have that moment.
You can clearly sense it's coming. So exactly. Just turn away.
Just turn away. If you don't want to watch it, just turn away. Let them just get that out. Because they need it, for goodness sake. And then, if they're still going by the time you turn around, then maybe give them a little cough, like, come on, we need to go.
Yeah.
And then Mike can stick his finger up at you. And then you can roll your eyes and be like, great, what am I getting myself into? And then you can take out off to close the gate.
Yeah.
Like, that... You pee me off, Hopper.
Yeah.
You really do.
That's it. It's such a beautiful scene because, like, Mike says, you know, I can't lose you. And Elle has, like, a little sad smile and says, you won't lose me.
She knows she's coming back from this because she can't lose him.
Yeah. Because so she's adamant. Experienced she is, that now. Yeah, and she's going to fight for love. Like, Mike has solidified that in her. She's going to fight for love.
Exactly. And
there's nothing stronger than literally fighting for the one you
love.
And
that's it. It's like, I feel like we've mentioned this on the podcast a million times, but it feels like that's exactly what this show's going for.
Yeah.
They haven't explicitly said it yet. And, in the scene of actually closing the gate, she is thinking about the things that make her angry. She's following Callie's instructions, doing the things that anger her. But I think, in the background, she is thinking about those she loves and the fact that she needs to protect them.
Yeah.
And that always prevails over anger.
Yeah. And I've said this as well before, it does give me a Harry Potter vibe, because that's the kind of theme of Harry Potter as well. But yeah, it definitely seems to be that way, and I hope it is that way, because then, you know, if good overcomes evil, if love overcomes hate, then fingers crossed we should be in for a good ending of season 5.
Yes, that's it. I mean, it makes me worry what some of the cast have said about season 5, but then I've also heard that none of them have read how it ends yet.
Right.
I mean, David Harbour has said he knows how it ends.
Yeah.
Just out of talks with the Duffers. I think he calls it beautiful.
He did call it beautiful. Something like that.
And I feel like, how can it be beautiful if anyone important is going anywhere?
I suppose it depends if it's a big sacrifice. But
yeah, but it, I better not be.
I know. The thing is, I take what they all say now with a pinch of salt.
Exactly.
Because, especially over season 3, but sometimes over season 4
Summer
as well.
Summer of love.
Yeah, they say things to tease. They know what they're doing, or they've been told to say things to get us off track and all this kind of stuff.
Exactly.
And like, so you've got to take what they all say with a pinch of salt.
That's it, they lie. Like, so much for Friends don't lie. Like, this they cast lie, yeah. lies about future seasons. Because, yeah, like I say, Season 3, The Summer of Love.
Yeah.
Episode 2, I Dump Your Ass.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Sure, Summer of Love.
Day of Love.
Yeah.
Episode of Love.
Six months of it, I suppose, but
that in we terms didn't of the get to see.
Exactly, we didn't get to give us these missing moments right now.
Did you mean to press in your nose there?
No. But it happened anyway.
Yeah. Do you know what? I think this might be a good point for part one to end.
Yeah.
Because I feel like we're going to go back in to maybe talk about one more scene to then cut.
Yeah, that's it. And it depends. I don't know what scene you've got up next on your notes, but for all we know, that might push us to the 2-hour mark.
Very possible. Because, yeah, this is... It's the final chapter of season 2. It's the final chapter of the golden series in our eyes. The Golden 2 series. It's the end of it before we kind of get a bit of a gear change. And, yeah, I don't mind that we're not rushing it. I'm more than happy for us to unpick what so far has been the moments we'd been waiting the entire season for that Malevin reunion. This episode, you may as well just call it the Malevin reunion.
Pretty much, yeah.
Because, there's nothing more important to us in this episode.
Literally. Like,
oh, yeah, she closed the gate. Oh, yeah, yeah, don't worry about that.
Yeah, close the gate.
But Malevin reunited.
Exactly, that's it. I can't believe, but also can believe... that for an hour and what will become 10 minutes very soon, we are now just getting to the point where they're leaving the buyers.
I know.
Like, that's ridiculous, but very, very obvious for us.
And I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry.
I'm not sorry at all.
Because there's no way I was skimming over that reunion.
No,
no
that's
way.
It. If you're,
I said this last week.
If you're listening to us, you're a buyer. Not buyer? What? Right.
Well.
Maybe you're a hater of mine.
Right now.
Right. I need to go to sleep. And I need you to put a pillow over my face for that. That was disgusting. Right. Let's try that again, shall we? Forget that ever happened. If you're listening to us, you are obviously an 11 shipper. Because if you're listening to us and you don't, then we're probably driving you absolutely insane. And why on earth are you here? So
we might be like their guilty pleasure.
Oh, so that's where the buyers came into my mind, thinking they're listening to us to just piss themselves off.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you are a Byler out there, we are sorry because we will always be Team 11.
Yeah.
We sympathise and we do appreciate, we understand the moments where we're like, yeah, you can understand why.
I said before, if Elle wasn't there, maybe it could have happened.
Yeah.
I don't know for sure, but maybe.
But the love of his life is there. His soulmate is there.
Exactly, that's it. He knew from the moment he saw her in that yellow top that swallowed a hole.
From the look on their eyes, the way they looked at each other over that torchlight, that was it. Boom. As Steve would say, electricity.
It was there. I mean, it was a thunderstorm.
It was indeed. Yeah, so there is only Malevin for us.
Yeah, that's...
And Lumax.
I was
going to
say,
like,
obviously
Lumax
as well.
Four.
But, oh God, in season four, they are so strong.
Yeah, so but, good.
Yeah, that's it. This is the prime ship.
Yeah.
So, deal with it.
So this episode really was the Malevin reunion.
This was the Malevin episode. That's what this is going to be called.
I think you may as well call it that, yeah.
I think so. Good Lord.
I think we should leave it there.
Yeah, at 1 hour, 11 minutes.
Oh my God, right, no more talking.
No more talking.
Thank you so much for joining us. We love you.
We do. We do, because that's it. We're doing this for ourselves, but we love our listeners as
we
well.
We do love our listeners.
And we love the feedback we get.
Yeah, we love hearing from you. And thank you so much for sticking by us and putting up with us.
You poor souls.
We'll see you next week for the rest of this episode, we promise.
Is this going to be our first three-parter?
I really hope not. It'll go Malevin Reunion, the
blah,
gate.
Blah, 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 snowball.
It'll be Malevin Reunion episode.
You've got 15 seconds.
Episode the gate, episode the snowball.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Right, 10 seconds.
Bye!
Bye-bye! Wait a second, we're doing bloopers now.
I'm no doubt thinking up dad jokes at this section of the pod.
That.
And today we'll be discussing chapter 9, The Gate.
You skipped a bit that I say. Eager Beaver.
I'm having a midlife crisis.
Are you calling me old?
Yes.
Good.
Wait, am I calling myself old?
No, you're calling me old.
What? Yeah, but you were Sean.
Oh. Yeah. And I said, are you calling me? Yeah, I screwed that up.
Damn it.
I think at this point we just keep these as bloopers and add them in at the end or something. Oh, God, we're still recording. And we're just a couple of... What do you say?